As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," he told him, and Matthew got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Amen. The concept of calling and who Jesus calls is a prominent part of this passage. He calls Matthew. The last verse we read, Jesus came not to call the righteous, but sinners. And the other Gospels include the sinners to repentance. And the whole aspect of calling is very important. You have to have a calling. And by this, I don't mean a profession, but a calling to faith. And as we think about calling and the different elements in this various passage, we think of the outward call of the gospel as you sit before the preaching of the word. And in that preaching, you are called to believe and to trust in Jesus Christ and to follow him in faith. That's the outward call of the gospel, which is very, very important. That's one of the functions and purposes of the church. One of our responsibilities is to do that. Along with that calling, though, for that to be more than just words that you hear with your physical ears, there needs to be the calling, the effectual calling of the Holy Spirit in your heart, convincing you of truth, where that causes you to embrace that word. There are many people who sit at churches or places where they hear the words, but they don't believe them, and they certainly don't respond to them. And so they've had the outward calling, but they haven't had the inward calling that calls them to faith. Another calling that we see in this particular passage, too, is the call to service. The call specifically to apostleship, but we could look at the call to office, to be elder or deacon is a calling. The irony or the paradox, in a sense, in that calling is no man ever, or he ought not to, no man ever thinks he's worthy of that calling. It's a very solemn calling, and it's very, very important, but no one thinks, "Well, I deserve that." If they think they deserve it, they ought not to have it. But they feel compelled by the church or by the work of the Lord in their heart that they need to serve in this way. As we have reviewed church history at different times in the past, we've seen a couple notable calls along that line, the calling to office. John Calvin was one of them. The Lord had converted him. He had come to faith. He had to flee France because they were going to after him, because he was a teacher of the Reformation. And he was going through Geneva, and his goal was to find some quiet place to write. That's all he wanted to do, is study and write. That's what he wanted to do. And he made his way through Geneva. And when he was in Geneva, the fiery William Farrell found out that Calvin was there. And he said, "This is the man I need to help me reform Geneva." And so he went to visit Calvin. And he's having a conversation with him, and he's imploring Calvin, "You need to stay here and help me plant the Reformation here in Geneva." And Calvin was very reticent. He said, no, I'm just wanting to go find a quiet place to study and to write." And as it were, and I think what had happened is Farrell stood up, and he was a fiery kind of person, and he pointed at Calvin, and he essentially said, "May God condemn or curse," he called a curse down on his study, "if you don't stay here." And Calvin was terrified. He didn't want to do this. But he saw that as the divine call of God on him to stay and do that work. Well, calling to service can have that kind of dynamic. Maybe not always quite so dramatic. That was particularly dramatic. But there may be times when a man feels called to serve. Or the church feels he's called to serve. John Knox's call was that way. He was a gifted young man. The church realized the Spirit of God was upon him and he needed to serve God. And so during a church service, the minister got up and pointed at him and said, John Knox, this church is calling you into the ministry. And he went home terribly depressed until the day of his first sermon. And we all know what kind of impact he had. Well, God calls us first to faith and then calls some to serve. In this particular text, they're in reverse order. Jesus has been back in Capernaum. He had the incident of healing of the paralytic. And then he is going out. Mark tells us he's going out beside the Sea of Galilee, beside what he calls the lake. And he sees Matthew sitting at this tax collector's booth. Capernaum was a commercial city, small, but it's still a commercial city. A lot of goods came and went there. And so the tax collectors planted themselves by the lakeside so that as goods were coming and going, well, you could get the tax on those things. And so Matthew is sitting at his tax collector's booth to get the tax. And tax collectors were not very well-liked people. We probably don't care too much for the IRS either. And when we get that form in the mail every January, we probably have to swallow hard knowing we're going to have to pay something. Have to fill it out anyway. It's kind of a pain doing that. But in that day, tax collectors, it may be a generalization, but tax collectors were often very corrupt. Because the government had what they wanted. And so the tax collector could charge whatever he wanted, and he would take the extra. And he'd pay the government what they wanted, and he would get the rest. And so as James Boyce says about these tax collectors, they are unacceptable politically, they're unacceptable religiously, and they're unacceptable socially. Because they're working for the government, and they're not faithful to their religion, and so they were hated of all people. So what happens, Jesus goes by the tax collector booth, and he says to Matthew, he calls on him, and he says, follow me. Well, and the text tells us he got up and followed him. Now, probably this call didn't necessarily come out of the blue. I mean, Matthew there in Capernaum would have seen Jesus coming and going. Perhaps he'd even heard some of his sermons. He certainly would have heard the reputation about him as a worker of miracles. Maybe had seen the evidence of his divine power. There might have been some knowledge that he had of Jesus, but he was still sticking to his work. And so the divine call comes to Matthew, follow me. And in that call really is both his call to faith and his call to service. He was having to not only respond to the Lord in faith, but he was called to serve the Lord. And the evidence of his conversion, the evidence of the work of God, the work of the Spirit of God in his heart, was that he did get up and follow him. The way Luke phrases it, Luke describes it as that he left everything to follow Jesus. He left his job, possibly left his family, maybe he left his home, but he left everything to follow Jesus Christ. He followed after him, and then another characteristic of his faith is that then he brings his friends to Jesus. So the first element of the story is the calling of Matthew, which is the call to faith, and a call to service. He's the call to follow after Jesus Christ and serve Him as one of His apostles. And then, what does Matthew do? Well, he has a farewell party. And he invites all his friends to come over for dinner. And Jesus comes and has this meal with them. And the people gathered at this meal were the people he knew. They were other tax collectors and they were other sinners. People that were living an ungodly life. But they were people he knew. And he invites these tax collectors and these sinners to come and eat. And Jesus, not only willingly, he probably very readily went to eat with them. And eating a meal in that day, it's kind of similar if you invited someone over to your home. It would be a time of fellowship. But in that day, the meal together was very significant in terms of connecting people and people investing in the lives of other people. And Jesus was ready to invest himself in the lives of these tax collectors and sinners. He came to reach them. It wasn't just a casual life. He was willing to befriend them to try to reach them. Now, I'll get ahead of the story a little bit. The Pharisees were very incensed by this. Why did Jesus meet with them? Well, he's going to tell you, because I came to call sinners. Why did Jesus come and meet with them? He wasn't embarrassed to be in the association of sinners. Why not? Because those were the people he came to save. Those are the people he came to reach and to love and to win and to transform and to change their lives. You and I don't have to share in the sins of people around us, but we don't need to be embarrassed to befriend them, to try to reach them, to bring Christ to them. The Pharisees' objection, they come in a really cowardly way to his disciples and say, why does your master eat with tax collectors and sinners? Why didn't they go to Jesus? They probably were waiting outside. They wouldn't have gone in. Jesus went in. He had no problem going in the house. The Pharisees, they were probably standing outside the door. And the disciples are leaving and they're asking, why does your master eat with tax collectors and sinners? Instead of asking Jesus to ask, they ask them. And Jesus understands and knows their objection. And he corrects their thinking with a couple different thoughts. You see, the Pharisees, you had to clean yourself up before they would have anything to do with you. You had to be, of course, we're all sinners. I don't know that they would have admitted that. But you had to become a clean sinner for him to have anything to do with you, for anything for them to do with you. And Jesus said to them, his first response to them was, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. Jesus has demonstrated throughout the ministry we've seen in chapter 8 and chapter 9 that he is willing to go to those people who need him. He's willing to touch the leper. He's willing to go with the centurion. He's willing to reach out to those who need him, who would make him unclean. He's willing to risk becoming unclean to reach the people who need him. The healthy don't need a doctor, the sick do. No one gets mad at sick people going to a doctor. That's where, if you go to your doctor's office and there's a bunch of sick people in there, do you get mad? Get all these sick people out of here. What? No, that's where they're to be. That's where they need to be. They need the care of the doctor. Jesus came for the sick. Not just physically sick, spiritually sick. He says, go and learn what this means. He's quoting from Hosea 6, verse 6. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. The second half of that verse is, I desire the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. Here he's speaking to them about what he really wants them and their ministry to do, what they should do, what they should be, is they should be having mercy. Pharisees, they were doing everything legally right. They were legally pure. They were outwardly good looking. But inwardly, they were corrupt. They were full of sin. Jesus says, learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. It's not judgment that sinners need. It's grace. It's gospel. It's Christ. And Jesus adds that statement, I have come not to call the righteous, that is those who are superficially and outwardly righteous, but I have come to call sinners to repentance. And this is the dramatic thing about what Christ has come to do. He came to reach sinners. And if he didn't come for sinners, he didn't come for anyone. Because that's who we are. If he didn't come for sinners, he didn't come for you. He didn't come for me. Because he only came for sinners. And you and I, people, we can look outwardly really good. The question is, what are we inwardly? We can befriend people who maybe outwardly look pretty good, but are what are they like spiritually? Jesus came for sinners. And if you admit that you're a sinner, then he came for you. And he calls you to repentance. And even you that are Christians, you've experienced that, but you still struggle with indwelling sin. And so he comes again for you to bring forgiveness for you, just like he brought it to the paralytic. He says to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven you. He comes to you. And he says, your sins are forgiven because of him. May you and I heed his call. Because if you don't heed his call, then you're still in your sins. You need his grace. You need his love. You need his forgiveness. Receive that in him. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for your love and faithfulness. Thank you that Christ Jesus did indeed come for sinners. And Lord, he came for us. Because we are sinners, we need your grace. We need his love, his redemption, the salvation that comes through him and his shed blood. Help us to embrace him. Lord, use us as instruments to reach out to other sinners and bring Christ to them. That your church might grow and that you might be glorified. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.